Actually, there are so many things that we do in a church setting that are symbolic. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can do them so often and we can do them in such ruffles. So today we want to be careful and recognize that even in the closing part of our service where we are having our candlelight session together, that even that has great meaning. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes right now. That when Jesus came, it was more than just a fulfilled promise. It definitely was that. That's one of the reasons that I love the first song that we sang. Beautiful, by the way. That one, O Come Emmanuel, is probably my favorite Christmas hymn. Because of the great meaning that it has. If you can imagine a promise hundreds and thousands of years. Yes, thousands of years in the making. You see, way back in the garden when Adam and Eve first sinned, so many times we think of, well, what happened then was God just began to pronounce judgments. And yes, there was some of that. There was the idea that man would have to work and by the sweat of his brow would he provide for himself and his family. There was the idea that women would experience pain and difficulty in childbirth. Sorry, ladies. There was the curse upon the serpent. You know, the idea was probably that the serpent at one time had legs and could crawl around, something like a long lizard. But the pronouncement was that now he would crawl on his belly, losing those legs. And so, yes, there were pronouncements of judgment. But one of the things right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, way back in the book, you didn't have to wait until Isaiah to get the prophesied Messiah. You didn't have to wait to Jeremiah. You didn't have to wait until the prophets. But way back there, when sin first entered in, God had already made provision. In Genesis 3:15, he made the promise that said, there would one day come the seed of woman. And though the serpent would strike his heel, he would crush the serpent's head. And so from that moment, all of Israel, all of God's people were groaning in anticipation for the coming Messiah, the coming of the one who would set it all right again. And so, yes, the birth of Christ was definitely the fulfillment of thousands of years of prophecy and anticipation. But one of the things, one of the concepts that I love as much as any other about the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, is that into a world that was filled with darkness, there shone a great light. The only thing that can dispel darkness is light. It's no accident that in referencing the Messiah that would one day come, he was called the light. You see, it's as if God knew that the darkness of our own hearts was so dark that it brought with it a hopelessness and a helplessness, an inability to change anything. And the only thing that could ever dispel the darkness in my life, and the only thing that could ever dispel the darkness in your life, the only hope for a darkened world is a Jesus who is the light of the world. And so when we celebrate together with a candlelight service, it's more than just the lighting of a candle and the singing of a song. It is a recognition that into the darkness that defined my life, Jesus shone. Several years ago, National Geographic printed an article called The Power of Light. National Geographic, not Christianity Today, National Geographic. And this is what they said. They said, light reveals the world to us. Body and soul crave it. Light sets our biological clocks. It triggers in our brains the sensations of color. Light feeds us, supplying the energy of plants to grow. It inspires us with special effects like rainbows and sunsets. The article went on to say, scientists don't fully understand what light is or what it can do. They just know that it will illuminate our future. Ever increasing in knowledge. Never coming to the knowledge of the truth. When I read that quote, my mind began to flood with so many of the references to light, especially in the New Testament. Did you know that there are 76 individual references to light in the New Testament alone? And if we were to take all of those different references and condense them down and try to find some commonality, I think we could find five common themes. And here they are. First, Scripture says that God is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and we now declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now, there's a lot of theology in that one verse. And this is not a theological discourse, but I do think we can capture the intent of that passage by quoting a gentleman named Albert Barnes, Barnes' commentary on the Scripture. This is what Mr. Barnes had to say about that passage of Scripture. God is light. Light in the Scripture is the emblem of purity, truth, and knowledge, and happiness, as darkness is just the opposite. So in essence, God is the source of all things light. He is the source of all things perfect and pure. He is the complete truth. He is without error, absolute knowledge, without any ignorance on any subject, and infinite joy and happiness in all things, so that there's nothing hidden from Him and nothing that makes Him miserable. God is light. The second truth I think that we can glean from the passages referencing light in the New Testament is this. Not only is God light, but the Scripture tells us that mankind has an aversion to light. Actually, mankind hates the light. How do you know that? Start proclaiming Jesus as the light to a person whose heart is darkened and they don't want to change, and you'll see just how quickly animosity can rise. John chapter 3, verse 19 says this, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." I heard that scripture growing up a lot as a child. My grandmother, I reference my grandmother quite a bit because, as I've often said, if nobody in the whole world went to heaven, my grandmother went to heaven. Godly woman. And I remember very clearly, in the latter years of her life, she had somewhat sickly. She had had a series of strokes and she had some heart issues, and so she came to live with my family. What a blessing that was to have my grandmother there and have her influence in our home. But I remember on so many occasions, when she was feeling good, we would all go out to eat dinner together. And it didn't matter whether it was Pizza Hut or whatever it was. We would walk up to the door, and on more than one occasion, my grandmother would stop in the doorway and she would give it one of these. She'd say, a little short, I bet she was that tall. And there were so many times when we actually had to turn around, leave, get in the car and go somewhere else. Because this is what she would say. She'd say, I'm not eating in there. It's too dark in there. There's no telling what's going on in there. Men prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we say, no, Grandma, they're just trying to set the mood. I'll sit in the car. And so off we'd go to some place that wasn't so dark. And we laugh about, and we laughed about it at the time, and I certainly laugh about it now. But understand the truth of that. There's just something about light that reveals the hidden things. And for those who'd like to keep things hidden, light is something to be avoided at all costs. And that's the reason that you have, you know, if you, it really doesn't make any sense. If you tell me that I can be free and I don't have to be a slave, if you tell me that I can walk in truth and I don't have to live in lie, it would seem that it's a no-brainer. But yet men prefer the darkness. And so the light calls them to account. The light brings them into accountability. You see, by nature, without God's intervention in our lives, we sin against Him, and we would remain in that spiritual ignorance and spiritual darkness, and we would believe the lies of the enemy, and we would be without the knowledge of God, and the end result is that we live our lives in darkness and in ignorance and in pain. It would seem that we would run wholeheartedly towards that which could set us free, but the very nature, the very sin nature of man, apart from God's grace and intervention, is to flee from that very thing that would set us free. God is light, and men, in their own sinful state, abhor that light. The third thing that maybe we could glean from these passages is simply this, that not only is God light, but Jesus specifically is the light of the world. There was a little boy who was playing a part in his church's Christmas play. And he was having difficulty remembering all of his lines. And so strategically, his mother placed herself right there on the front row. And sure enough, they got to this one part in the Christmas play, and he forgot his lines again. And so his mom is trying to mouth them out very clearly. He's squinting and he's trying to see, and he still couldn't get it. He couldn't remember. And so finally his mom just leans forward and she whispers, this was his line. She said, I am the light of the world. And so then the boy squares his shoulders, and with great confidence he belts out his line, my mother is the light of the world. Well, certainly the church did just as you did right now. They erupted in laughter. But his mother actually had it right the first time when she declared that Jesus is the light of the world. John chapter 1 verses 4 and 5 says this, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness didn't comprehend it. When Jesus was born into the world, He was the one who was manifesting God on the earth. He was God incarnate, God in the flesh. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. He shined the light of who God was and who God is into this darkened world. There's a fourth thing that I think we can glean from these passages in the New Testament concerning light. Yeah, God is light, and mankind rejects the light by our nature. And Jesus specifically is the light, not just the theoretical light of God, but the manifested light of God on the earth and in our lives. And when we understand and when we embrace that, the fourth truth that we can come to is that when we enter into relationship with God, when we are saved, we come into that light. It's not just a light that's shining at a distance that we can enjoy. No, we ourselves step out of the darkness of our own existence and into the light of Christ. What an amazing thought that is. It would be fine and well and good, and I would be thankful if Jesus would just shine the light on my path. But He does more than that. He doesn't just shine the light on my path. He actually brings me into that light. And so now I'm not just stumbling and hoping and aiming for something in the future. No, right now, in my present, I can live and walk and exist in the light of Jesus. Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes, in your past, you were darkness, but now, he says, you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. See, we possess the light of God so that we can share that light in purity and truth and knowledge and in the happiness of God through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is light. And in and of our own selves and according to our own nature, we're going to be resisting that light because we'd rather stay in our darkness. It's comfortable. We at least know it. But Jesus invaded the darkness and invaded the ignorance and invaded the lostness of our lives when he took on human flesh and became God, not just for us, but God with us. And now by his Holy Spirit, God in us. And so the Holy Spirit's light is shed abroad in our lives. And so we now, because we are saved through him, we are in the light. We don't just see the light, we live in light. And so then finally, I think probably the final truth, at least the final truth that I want to talk about tonight, is the idea that as a believer, as someone who has stepped into the light, as a believer, we have an obligation to share that light with others so that they too can walk in light. Paul says it this way. He said that we are ministers whose responsibility is to open their eyes. Listen, in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, this is what he says. Our responsibility is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance. You see, what good does it do me? Well, of course it benefits me to walk in light. But if you're in darkness, even my light is darkness to you. Jesus would say, you are the light of the world. But what good is a light if it's hidden and isn't clearly seen? No, he says, remove all of the things that would keep your light from shining so that others who are still in that darkness, remember that darkness that you were delivered from? Remember that darkness that you used to live in? Remember the darkness of the dark? Remember? Oh, but now the light of Christ is in you, and you walk in that light. And so your responsibility, my responsibility, and not just responsibility, our honor, our privilege, our calling, our partnership with our Heavenly Father is to share that light with others. And so that's what we're going to be celebrating in the moments ahead. The story that we celebrate at Christmas, it's the story of a baby born in a manger who came to die for our sins. May God help us to share and to tell that story to our friends, to our loved ones, to our co-workers. We'll do that through our missions efforts. Catherine, you'll do that in Togo. Amen. You'll take the light of Christ. Some of us may not have the opportunity to go to Togo, but you'll go back into your own neighborhoods. You'll go back into your own families. Listen, I would venture to say that in these next several days, there will probably be family members or friends that gather near. They would love to walk in the light. And it might just be time to say, you know what? This thing that we do every December, listen, I enjoy getting gifts as much as anyone. I'm thankful. But at the end of the day, it's beyond that. It's much, much more than that. And it might just be time that we shed the light, that we shine the light that we live in, the light that we enjoy, the light that is shed abroad in us. It might just be time. Holy Spirit, how would you have me to share that with my family, with my friends, with those that gather, with my co-workers? Not just during this season, but in January and in February and in March. Lord, how would you have me to walk in the light? Because a part of walking in the light isn't just for you to enjoy the light. A part of walking in the light is to do the deeds that Christ himself has done. And that is to spread the good news. God, help us. Amen? May God help us. There's a story about the discovery of some of the caverns in the northern part of the Yellowstone National Park. And the story goes this way. Several years ago, decades ago actually, there was a hiker and he was walking on top of one of the mountains and he fell through a hole that was previously undiscovered. He fell down this hole and he dropped several hundred feet down into a cavern and he was stuck there in total darkness for more than a week. No food, no water, probably injured. He would cry out every day, "Help me, please, somebody help me," hoping that someone would hear his voice and save him from a slow and agonizing death. Fortunately, after more than a week, someone heard his faint cry and they looked around and they found that hole. And with the help of some others, they were able to rescue this man. And this is how they found those vast caverns of Yellowstone. And someone after the fact asked him, he said, "How did you hold on? How did you maintain hope day after day in that darkness? How is it that you didn't just give up?" And this was his answer. He said, "There was one small little pinhole, one small ray of light that I could see. And I just stayed focused on that one ray of light. And it brought him hope." I would say that your candle, your light, might just be that one beam that's shining into the hopelessness and the darkness of someone else's existence. And so in these next few moments, when we light these candles together, let's remember it's more than just a song. It's more than just a religious ceremony. It's this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. That someone else living in darkness might see the light, might find their way to the Savior, that they too can experience the joy of salvation. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our musicians to come back up. And as they're preparing just a little bit of instruction here, we've got these guards on these candles, but I'm still going to remind you just to kind of hold that thing upright. I'm reminding myself of that as well, because sometimes we can just kind of get used to just holding it and we lose track of what we're doing. Next thing you know, we've got a pile of wax on the pew in front of us. And Harvey doesn't want that. Harvey and Margaret and Bobby, they'd be the ones that would probably have to scrape, unless we can find out who did it, and then we'll ask you to scrape it up. But in all seriousness, we would ask you just to exercise some caution, because this is real fire. But it was dark in my life. There was a lot of potential there. It was dark in your life with all the potential in the world, but with no light. And then Jesus, the light of the world, he broke through. Now I can walk in light. Bobby, let me tell you about this man named Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Go tell someone about Jesus, will you? Christine, have you heard about this man named Jesus? I see you living in darkness. There's hope in Christ. Go tell somebody, will you? Hey, my friend, I'll tell you about this man named Jesus. He loves you more than you could ever know. Go tell someone, will you? Can I tell you about Jesus, Miss Caroline? Can I? Yeah. Oh, isn't this awesome? Hey, you guys, you singers up there, do you need to know about Jesus? Come here, Jim, let me tell you about Jesus, huh? He loves you, my friend. You don't have to live in darkness. Come on, let's stand together. Can we do that? Come on, lead us in that song, will you? Amen.
Oh, Is there-